This next chapter starts a journey in chemistry. Like I said, this is cell biology, so we're staying within the cell for the entire term, and what happens in a cell is really chemistry. So you'll notice that this course is just as much a chemistry class course as a biology course. But we'll start right off on this chapter with a representative chemical reaction. What you see here in pictorial form is a chemical reaction. A chemical reaction involves a couple things. It's usually, a chemical reaction is represented as, or with, an arrow, as you see here. So there's one side of the arrow, the other side of the arrow in any given chemical reaction. Depicted on one side of the arrow is some number of reactants. Those are the species or the things, it can be one or more, that get turned into something else in a chemical reaction. So they're the starting point, in other words. On the right side of the arrow is some number of products. One in this case, but you don't have to have two reactants and one product. That's just an example. There can be any number of reactants turning into any number of products. But the point is that there is a chemical change, meaning the stuff, the product, whatever it is actually different material with totally different properties in some cases compared to the stuff you start with, the reactants. And so this is just one of countless examples of a chemical reaction, but in this specific case, as an example, we have two reactants turning into one product, right? Sodium is a metal, and it is dangerous stuff to be around. It's not just a metal, it is a highly reactive metal. So reactive that it's explosively reactive. And you would never want to touch this stuff, which is why this person is gloved. Just the small amount of moisture in your hands will violently cause this sodium metal to react. So it can hurt or kill you, sodium. Chlorine gas is another thing you don't really want any part of. It's a poisonous gas that will easily kill you as well. It's also very highly reactive, which is why pools are chlorinated often, because the reaction can kill so many things that in the pool. So either one of these things by itself, sodium or chlorine, will kill you. They have properties, they're different from each other, but they have dangerous properties. When you get the two together, though, they produce sodium chloride, which we know is table salt. It's just one of countless numbers of salts that we'll talk about later, but when we just say salt, we're specifically talking about sodium chloride. Now, sodium chloride is not sodium, and it's not chlorine. It's a new substance. That's the essence of a chemical reaction. You make new stuff. And not only is sodium chloride not like either of the reactants, it's not like sodium and it's not like chlorine, and not only is it not going to kill you like either of the reactants would, but it's also something you can't live without. So that is a pretty drastic change in properties, right? Going from something that's going to kill you to something that you need in order to live. And what's remarkable about that is that happens, that drastic change in properties happens simply because of rearrangements of electrons, parts of atoms that we'll talk more about in a minute or soon. There is no addition of matter. There's no subtraction of matter in a chemical reaction. It's all the same atomic particles and the things that make up those atoms. They just are simply rearranged. And that alone makes them drastically different materials, the products compared to the reactants. All right, but that's a chemical reaction, and we'll use this one as an example several times as we proceed. This is another depiction. Instead of using pictures to illustrate, the photographs to illustrate reactants and products, we're using these cartoons of molecules. Each sphere in here is an atom, but bonded together they make up molecules, and I'll give you a formal definition of molecules later. But this is a different reaction. This is not sodium and chlorine becoming sodium chloride. It's hydrogen gas and oxygen gas becoming water. It's just to show you another way of representing a chemical reaction. Usually, though, this is actually two representations of the same reaction. Usually what we deal with, though, is the bottom one, with just symbols consisting of letters and numbers that we call chemical formulae, right? 2H2 plus O2 become 2H2O. All right, well, that brings us to 3. And in this chart, we see a bunch of different elements. So before we even talk about the chart, let's say what an element is. Or do you, anyone want to tell me what an element is? What makes something an element, if you don't want to tell me what an element is? Well, there's no limit to the number of substances that either exist or can be created. All substances, though, are materials, and all materials are made out of building blocks called atoms. Right? Despite there being countless numbers of possible substances, only a little over 100 substances qualify as elements. Those are the ones that are listed on the periodic table of the elements. All the other effectively limitless number of substances are made by combining these elements. Each element, like hydrogen, for instance, the simplest one, the first one listed, is an element for exactly one reason. It's made up of only one kind of atoms. So if you have a sample of pure whatever, pure hydrogen, pure lithium, it's made up of only one type of atom. Sodium chloride, by the way, since we just used that as an example, is not like that. Right? It's made up of sodium, which is one element, made up of its own kind of atoms, and chlorine, which is a different element made up of its own kind of atoms. So that's the difference. That's why there's no limit to the number of substances, because you can combine elements in effectively infinite number of ways. But there's only a little over 100 substances that are made up of just one kind of atom. Now, I'll talk more about this in the next time, but not all of those 100 elements is listed here. And that's because you really don't want to have most of these things in your body. The farther you get down the periodic table, the more dangerous things these things become for organisms, not just for humans. But the ones that are near the top, which are the smallest types of atoms, the ones that make up the lightest elements, those are found readily in any organism, not just humans. And many of those are listed. If you look at the periodic table, you'll see that this list is really just the top of the periodic table. And more specifically than that, these first four listed here are the biggies. Nitrogen, oxygen, hydrogen, and oxygen. Those four in terms of the number of atoms that make up your body, which is far, far greater than the number of cells. 100 trillion cells in your body, well, each cell has millions of atoms in it. Many millions. But anyway, if you just think of yourself as a collection of atoms, these four make up almost all of you. And those are the ones that are the most important in these four classes of biological macromolecules that we're going to talk about. The others listed here aren't nearly as prevalent, but you absolutely can't live without these. You just don't need very many of them. All right? So, the elements I've said already that elements differ because they're made up of different kinds of atoms, or I'm really saying that confusingly. Each element is made up of only one kind of atom, I said. But that kind of falsely implies that there are truly different kinds of atoms made of different stuff. That's not true. All atoms are made of the same subatomic particles that are even smaller than atoms. So when I say the same kind of atom, that doesn't mean that it's made of different stuff. It's really just boils down to the number of protons, which is one type of subatomic particle that we'll look at next time, making up that atom. That alone determines what kind of element you have. And that's the basis for the numbering of the periodic tables. Each of these boxes, which is an element, has an integer. Now, this one that's not an integer, that's atomic mass. But this one called the atomic number tells you how many protons are in that type of atom. And that's the only thing that matters when you're thinking about a different kind of element. I'll get back into that, though, next time. So I'll see you in a little bit. Or no, I won't. I'll see you, well, a little bit. It's just a few days, 5 days.